Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the several groups traveling near the Great Sea. Good morning to the road people moving alone on that road. They find a poison toad. Good morning. It is Monday, October the 16th, 2023, Beau Blimp Doc, and it's your good friend Dan here in, you know, Grinkentown, Washington. And it's just after 4:30 a.m. And before I go too deeply into any of the varied subjects and hallucinations we'll go into this morning briefly, just got to tell you something. My personal computer kind of flaked out on me on Friday. And the bad news is that I had a chapter of Bigfoot War 1 on it, and I might be able to get to it. I don't really feel like doing it today. Probably won't be doing it anytime this week, but maybe next weekend. So there's a chance I can recover that and recover other things, but it's not just that. The laptop flaked out. My backup drive gave out. And now I'm down to using my work computer for things that are not work, and that puts me in a bind, right? Puts me in a bind, right? Yeah, my work computer, my backup drive, containing a lot of stuff, even more than that one chapter, a lot of stuff gone with the wind. And as I pointed out so many times in the last year, especially, you know, as enlightened as I like to pretend I am, I'm still flying about 100 feet off the ground. 100 feet off the ground, and you can still break your neck, folks. You can still take a tumble. And I don't know what to say beyond that, really. If I start complaining, I think I end up in a situation that's absurd. So why don't we just move on? You know, I was thinking the other day about being president. If I were president, I'd have NASA come up with a plan to destroy the moon. And then Mars, of course. Once we destroy the moon, we can move on to Mars. If I were president, I'd sell waffles at the White House and make 40 bucks a plate. If I were president, I'd eat pastry bread and cover it in cheese and pickle brine and then add the sardines. If I were president, I'd build shrunket tanks and arm all sides with them. These tanks would be made of old steel and dead elk and the smell of stripper snatches, cigarettes and stale beer, and you'd buy them, baby. You'll buy them because they'll be armed with a 12-gauge Vulcan cannon. Capable of firing mixed ammunition if I were president. If I was president of the United States of America, I'd sponsor National Stripper Day. We'd have strippers up and down Washington, D.C. We'd have strippers in the donut. We'd have strippers all around, covered in hookah grease, covered in spizz oil, with their boovulas visibly torgating. And then I'd realize, with all these strippers covered in spizz oil walking around Washington, D.C., I'd realize, if I were president, this is like any other day. How do I screen my colon? I sometimes look majestically and peer deeply at the stool I leave behind in the hole. I look for some oddity, something weird, and then I say a prayer. How do I screen my colon? I smell my farts. If they smell like ozone, then I say, change the cassette. I don't give a fuck, and feeling sorry for yourself are not the same thing, but they often share the same apartment. That's right. If I were okay, I wouldn't be here. If I were okay, I wouldn't be here. If I were okay, I'd be someplace else where the okay people hang out, maybe in quadrant 44 Zeta 5. They call it the busty quadrant. They call it the quadrant of the sexy women. I'd be king there. I'd at least be some type of bishop. They would cover me in anointed things. They'd bring forth the cow and make me the cheeseburger. If I were okay, would I be on planet Boblimpdoc? If I were okay, would you hear me in this noise? If I were okay, would I have that mold growing on my shtibdis? Would it be staring at me as I'm a bad little boy? Hermits love social media, right? Hermits like social media because it's like microdosing human interaction. It's also why we hate it. That's right, hermits love social media. Because you can take a little bit of that human race, that humanity, that can often so disgust you, and accept it into your system and breathe it in and pull it in. But, you know, we also kind of hate it. We hate that social media. We hate that guy, right? All hail the Jurgen time. All hail the Jurgen time, said Torvald the bludgeoner. He'd carry his bats and chain and inject himself with human growth hormone just to find a way to excitement and new style condo living. His parents were lost ones, and his wife left him for the turtle wax master. They said Jurgen time would end when the Skyhawk shaman declared Bo Blimpdok over. But it's never over, decried the mistress Dorcella. She spared no expense covering up her body. Yes, she covered her body in pasty green dresses and pastel flowers and yellow light pink and blue and high heel shoes. She wore dark lipstick and she had those cursed eye gleams. Skeeva's kings hide from the yellow light and build onyx chapels for the coming of Starn. Starn the master forger. Starn the oblivious Starn. Starn the scarred captain. We know him, said Dorcella, invoking Starn as a curse upon the land, saying Starn as a prayer to a feeble god. As a song to the wild sea, as an ode to lost cowboys and errant knights looking for easy hookups, Starn. The women folk were gathering fruits and nuts and oils for the celebration. The easygoing hustlers were setting up their tables for three-card Monty. When Starn comes, the seas will turn to gravel and the mountains will melt like gravy, declared Hebus. Dorcella's ex-boyfriend pondered this undoing, this new age of chilled spirits and hot nights with greasy women. It was foreboding, the shape of the clouds. It was an omen, the noise of the crow. It was near, the fire, the reshaping, the rebuilding, the reconstruction of gangster realms. Gangster realms and pirate worlds, and the outlasting sense of flower and spice. Torvald had returned from the Scobe Wars and was sitting with Dorcella and Hebus and a few others at the Rooksome public house. He had a leather jacket with patches from around the world that the world has defined in terms of Sturgis, South Dakota. He kept an eye on his Harley parked outside and another eye on Dorcella's cleavage. And with his third eye, Torvald was digging deep into Hebus's mind, soul space, digging into Hebus, tunneling deep into the hidden parts of the Hebus brain was Torvald's brain. Hebus groaned as the mountaintops began to sing. Hebus had hidden, deep within the mind space, stories and paths and means to great gold, adventure and diamonds. Hebus would defeat Starn with laser wings in common pizza herding. Hebus spoke. The moon is a grievous cream in our monkey steam. It's a slab of hook of crabs It's the dent in our celestial rent. It must be destroyed, that's what Hebus said. The moon must be burned to the ground. This was the zeitgeist of the time. Hebus and Dorsella and Torvald knew the moon was to blame for all of it. The moon is the Dirk Niglin and caper monk. The moon is a wine darling and a street alley minstrel. The moon spreads disease and crabs and Starbucks. In Jurgen time, the clone denizens wander aimlessly, and the wizards of Cleveland spin their Jenny, looking deep into the highway garbage and the lost tire squirrels. In Jurgen time, the Oog mines are laid across the bridge to reunion and redemption. No one is considered without fault. No one is clean. The swamp killers drive the streets in fire trucks. They take the hoses and spray the hobos as they drive by, leaving them cold and shivering in the streets. I live in a camper. I am friends with the raccoon and the hawk. I am friends with the wolf and the owl. I growl at the moon, 'cause real soon, baby, we gonna take that moon down. The moon must go. Well, we can't grow, Dorsella said, as the fire sturgeon burped and cried and vomited his ale. Jurgen wine is what Dorsella knows. Dorsella spoke. There were 9 Thrigus wars before the time of undoing. There were 12 elven kings upon the arrival of Tor. Yes, Tor, the mascot stealer. And if we can forget, would we not forget the upheaval of Deb when her lesbian forces stormed the island chain of New Bilinia? Her words, Dorsella's words, resonated with Torvald. Torvald remembered these times. The age of Hagentuk. Hagentuk, the forge master, rode horse and shot cannon and built trebuchet made out of steel and stone. He hunted the meerkat and fed upon the loins of dwarves. His army wore cod pieces made of cod pieces, and his own cod piece was made of silver cod pieces, and none were worse. Torvald was mad. He had loved Dorsella and her heaving bosom. He inglumulated her boobula multiple times and left spizz oil as residue of passion. His essence covered her like the golden shower of 100 musk maidens. And it was unto the rabbit lord, and she was to be given, but Torvald would not have it. But the moon must be destroyed, screamed Hebus. And this too was agreed upon. It was merely the means by which the moon will be destroyed that was up for debate. It might involve building a 500 gigaton nuclear device using cobalt-derived radiological materials and some type of crystalline tritium encasement. We might have to build a super laser powered by Nog sauce from the hooker sector. We'll have this laser manned by prostitutes and strippers wearing nothing. And their own juices will power the laser. So even if that doesn't work, 'cause it's as plausible, baby, as the Matrix plot. Even if it doesn't work, you still have strippers and hookers, right? This made Hebus smile. There is no peace as long as the moon shines. At this, the crew laughed. They knew their task was impossible, but they also knew they had the grit and the know-how to try and try well. Sure, the monks of Gastia would try to stop them. Their sacred oath is to the Vatican and Shirley Temple's ghost. Yeah, the busty nuns of Duke Town will use their powers to persuade them to halt their journey and join the nuns nakedly in the sacred oil pools. They'll say no, yeah, probably. But nonetheless, they must gird their loins. And I sing their song, and I dream of destroying the moon. Every time some shithead says you can't destroy the moon, I will point ironically and yet cryptically at a portrait of the lunar lander landing on the moon I bought from the NASA website. They won't know what I mean. A few hundred megatons of nukes in the right spot, exploded on the dark side of the moon, would send the moon into a slowly degrading orbit, and in a matter of months the moon would be destroyed, you know, along with Earth. You can't make an omelet, baby. You can't make an omelet without blowing up the moon. The moon is a death star. The moon is a death star. The moon is a death star. The moon carries hate. This is why I should run for president in 2024 before it's too late. Dan, what's your platform? My platform? Fuck. Fuck you, Scrumbo. Come on, Dan, tell us what you'll do as president. I will destroy the moon. Okay, that's a strong position. It is. What's the cost of destroying the moon? Ask Hebus, ask Torvald, ask Dorsella. It's pennies a day. For pennies a day, we can blow up the moon. For pennies a day. Oh, I'm really getting interested in unicycles. I have this feeling that the next big invasion or attack is going to come from strippers riding unicycles naked carrying Glocks. Strippers on crack on unicycles. Hey, Tarantino, give me a call, shithead. That script writes itself in one weekend, fucker. By the way, the history of successful airborne operations is not a long read. You should be able to read it over the toilet in about 30 minutes. The history of successful airborne operations. I've invented a super soldier. Crack whore, former dancing nurse, BLM street organizer, drag queen, storytime host. She wears armor made of U.S. passport material. She's always masked up. She fires a machine gun that shoots box cutters. She rides a unicycle naked. She's connected to a paraglider, and she's naked with only a strap on. It's like the men on the moon. None of them their ships that landed men on the moon ever seemed like they could possibly work. But like paragliders from Palestine, the populace is mystified, stunned, staring gormlessly at their CNN or their Fox News, deluded and confused. So Men on the Moon works, and that's okay. But holy fuck. What if you could load up a lunar lander with naked crack whore strippers? The armor on the lander is made of U.S. passport material. Once the lander lands, the hookers take off in paragliders. The hookers have box cutter firing swivel guns. Near the ground, the hookers disengage from the glider and start riding unicycles. Near the target, the unicycle converts into a pogo stick dildo combo, and the hooker, she rides it using her boobula. The hookers are former BLM drag queen Putin storytime nurses, and they can dance, baby, they can dance. And everyone is stunned, and no one could have ever seen this fucking coming, ever. I mean, if you're the state of Israel and you have the most secure border of any state other than, let's say, I don't know, North Korea, there's no way you could have seen paragliders coming, but would you have seen hookers on unicycles, baby? Even your, you know, super intelligent sound sensing network, your sonic detection, your low ground, low wave radar, you wouldn't have seen it with all your border guards because you were having a dance for peace right across from the wasteland. Okay. What about an army of dead but cybernetically enhanced cats? Okay, we've got our paraglider Palestinians, we've got our roof Koreans probably, we have hookers and strippers riding unicycles naked. But what if we had an army of dead zombie cats that are cybernetically enhanced? They're not laser cats, so don't sue me, Saturday Night Live. Even more shocking than paragliders or unicycle hookers would be an army of dead cats. That's what Torvald thought. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The paraglider is this year's dancing nurse. The ghost of Kiev was last year's. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Many non-linear processes can appear linear until they're not. Oh, I wonder what that means. Well, we've talked about the slow burn, and I tell you what, if you can imagine that what's going to happen next over the next few hundred years is like the movie Idiocracy, then you have a profound imagination. But nature's not that kind. It's not that kind of stupidity. It's not that kind of foolishness. It's not that kind of evil, really. Nor good. It's just not that kind. So the idea that nature would be that fucking kind to allow you and your family to slowly descend into hell so that you can be dead and gone before the really, really bad things start, well, that's a nice belief on your part, but it's probably not true. Nature's not that kind. If many non-linear functions at a certain part of the domain will look linear until they're not. And then when you get to the part that's non-linear, you'll say, well, why didn't somebody say something? And people did, but you wanted to believe in magical fucking bullshit. Nature's not linear. Nature is discontinuous and brutal, and nature is not kind. And if you think there's an equilibrium, that might be true momentarily. But wait for the punctuation mark. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. A cigarette is a reason to wake up in the morning, a great reason. A cigarette is a reason to awaken, it's an excellent fucking reason. Go grab yourself a cigarette. It's an excellent fucking reason. Yes, indeed. Did you know that there are radical hikers and granola types forming thug armies in the Olympic National Forest? This is true. There are thousands now of these futuristic hiker-camper combos, men and women and chiglet people and all kinds of grunglies, and they're living up in the woods with the Wookiee and the hawk and the owl. They've formed their own armies. The National Park Service doesn't even mess with them. You can go up there into the Olympic National Forest and you can get to know these people. Maybe they'll let you join. These are things they don't report in the news, by the way. You don't get this from CNN. There are thug armies forming in every national forest in this country right now. You probably don't live far from one of these thug armies, and you could join it if you can bring canned chili or curry sauce for the long pig. People are going up into those forests, baby. The boondockers are scattering to the eight winds. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. If you get the feeling that everyone is lying, to include you, you might be close to the truth. If you think everyone is lying and that you're lying to yourself, you might be close to the truth. You might be very near. I was meant to be region lord, to be married to a scarlet dinger named Sally. We'd rest on summer days, smoking crack and washing our crotch, smelling the sticky love emanating from the grove, becoming Nordic death mares, and left behind in the land of Boblimtok, sadly. We're stuck here with the rest of you. I was the Gorgon that struck fear into the hearts of the Dimbleys and the other Gorbs. I ate monkey stew with the kings and led the armies against the last onslaught of the tube gang. I suckled on breast wine as the mistress held the whip, so many broken souls left in Boblimtok. Yeah. So many lost souls left in Boblimtok. In Boblimtok, right? Drink a little bit of water here. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's good. Great. It's seen better days, I think. As I pointed out, I lost a computer and a backup drive on Friday. And that sucks. But compared to what's coming, it really doesn't suck. Compared to the current reality for a lot of people, it's small potatoes. You know, I'll figure it out. I will, as I'm clearly doing. If you're listening, I'll figure out a way. Does it suck that I might have lost about 4,500 words of that great opus, the Bigfoot War One? Yeah, and maybe it's a sign. Maybe it's a sign from God. We'll see. Does it suck that I lost that backup drive and potentially a couple blogs worth of material? Yeah, it sucks. I was also a customer of GoDaddy's for 10 years, and they treated me like a fucking piece of shit. That sucked too. It sucks. It's reality. It's reality. You can pay money for something now. Okay, you can pay money and say to yourself, I paid for this, and you can be told you did not. I got a letter from Bluehost about a month ago basically saying that, yeah, I signed the contract, I clicked the little checkbox, but the reality is the contract is written to say there is no contract. The ultimate lawyer move. We don't have an agreement. Fuck you. And still, I have food, water, shelter, and still I have a place to live. I have a place to exist. I have a job of sorts, you know. I don't know if I'm helping or not, but for right now, I'm tutoring some high school kids, and hopefully it does help. And it's not a lot of money, okay? But you know what? It's money. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, you can donate to it. But before you donate, listen to the following. Take care of your food, your water, your shelter. Do that first. If there are people in your life you care about and they need help, help them first. If you're setting aside food for your family, like let's say 6 months worth because you're an optimist, then make sure you take care of your pet too, okay? Especially if it's a dog, because that dog is going to look out for you, baby. And remember, it's not the end of the world. So as crazy as things are, and as messed up as things are, and as frustrating as life can be, and it can be, and we all know it can be, it's not the end of the world right now. It's just fucked up times. And so before you donate money to some random shithead on the internet, try to take a break. Okay? Maybe spend a little money on yourself. Maybe go see a movie. Maybe take a girl out on a date. Maybe spend some money on some gasoline to go see your mom or your dad. Maybe pick up that phone and talk to somebody you ain't talked to in years. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it next year. You will, shithead? You'll do it next year? But if you've done all these things, and you still have massive resources left over, then you can donate to this podcast. Go ahead, I feel free. There's a PayPal link. Could I use the money? Everybody can use the money that I know. I don't know anybody that's doing that well right now. And the sad truth is, I don't see a future where many of us, if not most of us, will be doing any better. And that's the best case scenario. You don't want to ask me about the worst case. But we're still alive and we're still breathing and the world is not coming to an end. So why don't we brace ourselves? Why don't we stand up straight? And why don't we for a moment as human beings remember that we can shake our fist and we can cry out in the nighttime and we do have the energy and the strength to go on. It's not the end of the world. It's just a really fucked up time. And there's a good chance it's going to get worse and it's still not the end of the world. So give yourself a fucking break. That's what I'm trying to do. But if you've done all these things and you were a Dallas Cowboy style Texas billionaire or a San Francisco kind of Bitcoin baron and you have so many millions of dollars you don't know what to do with, then you can donate to this podcast. I will not prevent you. I won't keep you from doing it, baby. The fan just spun up on my laptop. It does that from time to time. Why does it do that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe to be a dick. Anywho, it is Monday, the 16th of October, 2023. And it's right around 5:13 a.m. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And fuck you, Windows. Fuck you, Windows. Microsoft Windows sucks.